My name is Annie Laubert, and I'm a champion survivor of trafficking to tell you that God can heal you from any hurt that's ever happened to you. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you too. Hi, friends, and welcome to Annie's Pink Chair, where we invite presence, inspire purpose, and ignite passion in people's hearts to spread God's love throughout the world. Come on, somebody. Invite, inspire, and ignite. Set that flame afire. Woo! I feel like calling 911 because I'm on fire. What about you? Listen, friends, I have a very special guest in the audience that is an expert at 911. Okay? It is not a coincidence, right? That we have my friend Tina DiCola in the audience. Let me tell you about my friend. And by the way, she's a dear friend and very special. And I have a huge heart for what she's doing here in Las Vegas. She's the mother of three. Married for 25 years, woo woo! Recently retired from Las Vegas and rescue dispatched after 22 years. Currently an instructor with the Denise Amber Lee Foundation. The foundation is to help 911 professionals be their very best every single day. Yay, 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 Tina! I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
You're welcome. I love your smile. Now, if people can't see you, because right now this is being videoed and we're on television, but also on podcasts, if they can't see your smile, I know they can hear it.
Thank you. Yeah, I love to smile. I just try to be my happiest all the time.
Well, I mean, Tina, I'm just curious. How happy can someone be like you? You talked about your smile. When they've seen 22 years of 911 calls. I mean, come on. Anywhere from domestic violence to shootings, car accidents, babies being birthed, CPR, someone jumping off a building, someone about to jump off a building. All the things, fill in the blank. How does someone do this job and not be affected by it?
I think we definitely are affected. Definitely are affected. There's not one person that can experience the things that we deal with on the phone, in person, and not and say nothing affects me. Right. That's just a myth. So you have to, and I teach this actually.
I
to
like that you said that it's a myth.
It really is.
Debunk it.
And I teach 911 professionals, especially the younger group, on how to deal with that. You have to have outside hobbies. You have to have family support. For me, my faith, I'm very involved at my church. Whoop, whoop. So my faith has really helped me because I didn't want to become that jaded person. I always wanted to be the person on the phone that was empathetic, sympathetic, right, kind, and helpful. And I never wanted to be jaded on the phone.
And that's so important. That one 10-second or 5-second or 1-minute call that gets made, mm-hmm, to someone like you or a dispatcher, if you don't speak correctly, you can lose someone's life.
Absolutely.
And you said something about faith. How does this intermingle? Tell us about your journey with your faith. What did that look like growing up as a little girl?
I'm a cradle Catholic. So I was born.
What's a cradle Catholic?
I was born, baptized, and in the church.
Oh, I never heard that term.
Yes.
My mom was too.
And I raised my children also in the Catholic faith. I taught their catechism classes. And now I still volunteer at my church. It's just, I think every day is our day with our time with God.
Yeah.
But that time with my friends that I volunteer with and just that special time, it's like a special bond,
right,
that I have with my volunteer, mm-hmm, group. But I absolutely, I love helping. And that's the one positive thing that we can always turn to, no,
sure,
matter what. No matter when we hear these bad things on the phone, when we experience bad things in our lives, the one good thing that we have is God, right. is our faith, right? So that's the one thing we could, that never lets us down. It's always there.
Did you have that inside of you as a little girl? Did you have a magnet drawing you in to who God was? And let me ask real boldly, what about Jesus? Where did Jesus fit in this picture? And how did you start? I mean, I'm going to get real. I'm digging. Mm-hmm. How did you start that relationship with Jesus? Because we have the Father, the Son, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit. And they're all triune, right? They all are together, but they're separate too. But they're one. So, because I can remember the day and the time that I'm going to believe in Jesus now. I'm just going to do it. But it wasn't wholeheartedly. Can you tell me about that moment? Did you have an epiphany when you were younger?
And when I was younger, yes, because it was always something that we always went to church. We went to our catechism classes. Those were things expected of us, right? That was what we did.
Yeah, it's routine.
It was routine, right?
Religion. So,
and it was, I would say, third or fourth grade, that young elementary school age, where I felt like, you know, this, yes, we do these things, but wow, Jesus is here. And not in this building or not at school, because we went to Catholic classes and things. And Jesus is right here. And I remember just being a young girl mm-hmm. and just being so like happy. And my parents are very faithful.
And so they had a strong faith to guide very, you in a different respect than that way.
Very faithful.
Did you ever see like your mother have a rosary or your grandmother?
Oh yes, I'll tell you a funny story. When my dad started, they started getting older. I would go over and help, you know, change their bedding and things like that. Things that it's hard for them to do. And I lifted up the sheets to take them off, mm-hmm. and three rosaries went flying. I'm like, what the heck's going on in this world?
Hey, that's a good sign. I mean,
I would giggle. Cross. And I said, Mother, you only need one. She says, well, your dad loses them, so I make sure that he has a few. So when my dad was in hospice, I went to visit him, and the pastor knew we were Catholic, and he put a rosary around my dad's hands, and I still have that rosary. I still have that rosary.
Can I ask you what color it was?
It's orange.
It's orange.
Yep.
And colors mean something.
Yeah. And he was so peaceful holding it. And they asked me if I would like to keep it. And I asked my mother first.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I want you to have it. I want you to have dad's rosary. So yeah.
Tell me why, like, your mom and dad have a different story. Like, their faith, were they always married? Like, what?
Always married.
Like, they stayed together as you, and you have brothers and sisters?
I have two siblings, yes.
Okay.
Two sisters.
And are you the oldest or the youngest?
I'm the oldest.
Oh, you're the big sister.
I'm the big sister.
I love that. And so recently, this is something very recent, obviously, mm-hmm. that you had to face the death of a parent.
It was one of the hardest things I've ever dealt with in my entire life. And I'll tell you, dealing with the death of a loved one on my headset at work doing 911. And
I mean, I was talking to you too.
Yeah. Walking them through CPR with their loved ones,
yes.
Walking them through having to get ready for what they're going to have to deal with, mm-hmm. right? The paramedics are coming, and all of a sudden, all these things are happening. They're bringing a gurney in, or they're putting all these machines on, and just trying to prepare them for the experience they're going to have is very different when it's you dealing with it.
Yes.
And when I went to the hospital, my dad was at the hospital, and I saw him because I have power of attorney, and I saw the bruises, and I looked at my dad, and he just looked at me, couldn't speak at this point. And I was giving him water on a little sponge. And I said, you don't want this, do you? And he just looked at me, and I told the doctor, I said, no more. I go, this is not what he wants. And he said, no, we agree with you. You know, you're doing the right thing. You're loving your dad right now. And but it was a very hard decision because it was my decision, you know, to make.
Right.
And so.
But he was coherent.
He was.
And he knew that you were
going to get him there. Yeah.
To a comfortable place.
And it was funny, ironic funny, when it was his last day at hospice. My husband was with me. My son was playing golf.
How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Yeah, yeah. We just talked about that earlier.
And I have two daughters and a son. And my son, he lives here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And he texted me. He says, "Where are you, Mom?" And I said, "I'm with Papa."
Yeah.
And he says, "I'm leaving the golf course right now." And he left in the middle to sit with me.
Of his game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he sat with me. And my husband came later and my dad had stopped breathing. They came in and I told my husband, I said, "Go get the nurse." I said, "I think Dad's gone."
Right.
And he took the biggest breath. And he started breathing again. And I just smiled at him. I said, "You are so stubborn." He would not go in front of me. And we left for a minute and he passed.
You left for 1 minute.
And he went, but he would not do that in front of me.
Wasn't he a little stinker?
I know. My dad and I were very close. And I'll tell you a funny story about my dad. My dad was born and raised in Oahu, Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. I love Oahu. That's where I actually got turned out.
He was 12 years old when Pearl Harbor got bombed.
Oh, my goodness.
And he would tell, and he was 92 when he passed, but he could tell you, Annie, like the story like it just happened. He had a memory like
where no was other. He was 12 years old.
He was at church. He was an He's altar boy.
And what part of the Oahu was it at?
Right on Waikiki.
By the beach.
Yes. And he was at church. They were practicing. He was an altar boy.
Is it a church that I might have driven by or walked by before?
I would bet you.
I remember there's a Catholic church.
And it's a big
one. It has like a steeple.
Yes.
And it's like right on the beach.
Real beautiful church.
Yeah. And it has a stained glass.
I think so.
One story, I believe.
I think, yeah, it's a one story church. And the priest said to the boys, because they said, go home, because they saw the smoke billowing from Pearl Harbor. Right. And of course, boys being 12 years old, they ran towards the harbor to see what was going on.
Of course.
And he would tell the stories back then, and he would tell my children when they would have to write about Pearl Harbor, different history
things. So he has first account.
Oh, yeah. I said, "Go talk to Grandpa." Right. I go, "He knows so much."
So much more.
And I will tell you, if I could speak to anyone that has their grandparents or their parents still, record them. Mm. Record those stories, and you will have them in your heart forever.
And it's so true. Before my mom passed away, like the year before, I had this inkling, record her. Mm-hmm. I saved all her voicemails that I could. It was like 30, 50, maybe. I don't remember. But yes, I said, "Hey, Mom, can you tell me this story about moving into the house on Minnehaha Avenue, right down the street from the first ever Target?"
Wow.
My mom's neighborhood was in the neighborhood that George Floyd incident happened. Mm-hmm. I grew up in that neighborhood. That was my backyard, the candy store, like with my little bike. I mean, so I recorded her telling me stories about moving into the house, and the tenants before them had bed bugs. And she comes from a very large Polish family, 9 kids, actually 11. There was 2 miscarriages. But my grandma and grandfather were both, their roots were from Poland deep. And they had she told me about these tape things that they would hang from the ceiling in the attic to catch all the flies and whatever else. And they stripped that whole house of paint, got rid of all the bed bugs. I mean, back then it was super common. Mm-hmm. It was actually a large house to share shelter with, a halfway house, basically, for the wayward people. And they ended up buying it. But anyway, she was telling me stories about the house and how it was just her favorite home that she grew up in. But you said, you know, record your parents. Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Because you'll have those, you'll hear their voice.
Yes.
You'll have those memories.
Even if they don't know, just tell them, "I recorded you. Sorry."
Exactly. Yeah.
Just kidding.
And they love it. You know, they love it. My dad always called me pal. He always called me pal ever since I was born. And we were very, very, very close.
What was your nickname for?
Yeah.
So what's your middle name?
Marie. That was his mom's name.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So your dad's relationship between you and him, Was it a friendship first? What was it like to have a daddy? Was he there for you?
He was always there for me. And my dad was always my biggest chance. You know, like he always was my hero. He always was my, no matter what I did. And it was funny. I could have done anything wrong in front of him. And he would say, well, I don't think she did that. I think that you're just seeing things.
You know? That's my daughter. She's innocent.
And
be quiet.
It was funny because later in their life, sadly, my siblings were abusing my parents. And when Metro found my, because we were, I was trying to find them. And when Metro found my dad, he was upset, of course, because they arrested my sister. And no matter what, that's still his daughter. And he was very upset. So he was like, my daughter works for Las Vegas Fire. And he was like, you call my daughter. And so I was working and they called me and I went to got them taken care of. But it was always, he was always proud of me.
Right.
And he was always there, always there. Every, if we were in sports, he was there. We were in 4-H growing up. I grew up on a farm.
Oh my gosh, I joined 4-H too. What about the brownies?
Yep, I was in the
brownies. Does anyone know about the brownies in 4-H? Yep. Holla if you do. Click and DM us. DM me, y'all, if you know anything about 4-H.
Yeah.
I had bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
I had my lop-eared chinchilla bunnies. And yeah, that was my little fair thing that I did.
It was fun. 4-H. Like we had beef, swine, and sheep.
Where did you grow up?
Southern California.
Okay. What part?
Right outside of Palm Springs, a small town called Beaumont.
Oh my gosh.
And we had a big 3-acre farm that we lived
on. High desert, like a little bit lower.
Just a little bit lower. Yeah. And it was really awesome.
Did you have scorpions there?
No.
I always think that they're everywhere in the desert. So no scorpions.
I didn't know about scorpions till I moved here.
Oh, they scare me. Oh, yes. I don't like them.
I'm not a bug person. So I just try to avoid them as much as possible.
I just see in you confidence, Tina. And I'm wondering if that comes from your father.
I think it does because he always
pushed me. Of knowing who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I am Tina Tagola. I am here to do this job. This is what I'm doing. Everybody sit down. I'm going to teach you.
Well, when I first was asked to teach, and I was teaching two 911 academies, I was...
I want to learn.
I was so scared. And I went to my dad and my godfather, who I'm very close with, and I said, I think this is out of my league. They said, this is right up your alley. And you can do this. And I prayed about it. And if I could go back, I would have done a lot more teaching.
Yes. So I'm going to ask about that because you know what it says in the word? It says, God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. That's a really... Okay, hold on. Let's look that scripture up. I feel like a ding-dong because I usually have that memorized. But... this is where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in inside of you as a teacher, because the Holy Spirit is not just a comforter. He's also a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He brings wisdom, right? So I'm going to look the scripture up. Tell me like about what your dad instilled in you for your values. We have about 7 minutes left, but okay. We have a little time. What did you take from him, by the way?
My dad and my mom were always hard workers. They always worked. My mom worked in the postal service for 33 years.
Wow.
My dad worked as a bread delivery man back in the day.
I can smell it right now.
Yes. Our house always smelled like bread. So did my dad. But they always worked. My dad worked a night shift. My mom worked a day shift. That way they were always home with us. And
very smart.
My dad,
I would say that's wisdom.
And that's what my husband and I did. When I started working at Las Vegas Fire, I worked a back shift. My husband's, he was a boss, so he had to work a day shift. And we were always with our children. And volunteering at the school, because that's what my dad did. He volunteered at 4-H. They were always present at school functions.
Yeah.
They were always visible, like supporting us. And I think that is the key to parenting.
Well, I absolutely agree. You have a real living, breathing communication of, hey, I support you. Hey, you're my daughter. Mm-hmm. Hey, I love you. Hey, I'm here for you. Hey, you have a problem, Tina? Come to me. Don't be afraid. This scripture, it's in 1 Corinthians 1:27-31. It says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Isn't that crazy? So because you felt inadequate, you actually were not inadequate. God will use our inadequacies to put himself on display, to show himself strong in you as a woman of God. So says what the world thinks is worthless, useless, and nothing at all is what God has used to destroy what the world considers important. Sorry, devil, you don't get to win this one. So it says God did all of this to keep anyone from boasting to him. So you can't really even brag about, we can't, about ourselves because of the fact that God is giving us intuition. He's tapping us on the shoulder. And maybe it was your father's voice saying, Tina, because I want to get into that. I'm going to ask you a question. It's very loaded because then this will set us up for the next part too. How does a woman like you become attracted to becoming an EMT or a dispatcher? What makes a person want to do that? Who brought that idea to the table? Or were you sitting in class one day and all of a sudden you got this, oh, holy revelation. Tina, you're going to guide people to safety and take them out of trauma, help them heal. Tell me how that started.
I moved here in 96 from Arizona.
Okay.
I got divorced. I moved here with my eldest daughter.
Testimony.
And I was...
That must have been hard for you.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
Because, again, devout Catholic.
Divorces.
Taboo.
Naughty.
Yes.
Tina, and, how dare you?
And I chose to be away from that, the life that I, that was... that I was living. I did
not. Was it abusive?
It was abusive.
I'm so sorry.
I did not want my daughter to think that this is what women should accept and this is not what marriage is. This
good
is definitely not.
For you.
Yeah. This was not what I grew up with.
So proud of you.
And now my oldest daughter is married. Mm-hmm. She is in law enforcement in Washington State.
Wow.
She's getting her master's degree. She was in the Navy. She did 2 tours overseas. I mean, she's a strong, amazing woman. And that's what I wanted for my girls. Yes. And both of my girls are amazing. My son is a gentleman because that's what we need to raise. We need to raise our women to be strong and our sons to be respectful of women and supportive of women, and that's my son.
Protect us.
100%.
Provide. Defend, you know?
He is my son is my biggest, other than my husband, he's my, like, he's my protector, because I'm so little. I'm only 5'1". But he...
Are you 5'1"?
Yeah, he stands next to me, and he's like, this is my mom, and I got you, you know? He's amazing. But I moved here. And I was working in the medical field.
You have 3 minutes.
And I, there was a, on the radio, they said, train to be a 911 dispatcher. And I thought,
what?
I could do that. I bet you I could do that.
What radio station were you listening to?
I think it was 97.1 Classic Rock,
of
course. Oh,
Classic Rock, baby.
So I applied. And
you like that commercial, huh?
Yeah.
What made you... Like, this is really interesting.
I thought, you know what? I've been in the medical field. I love helping people. Yeah. And
what were you doing before in the medical field?
I was a medical assistant.
Okay.
And drawing blood and, sure, and doing those types of things.
Lobotomist.
Yeah.
Vampire.
Yep. And I absolutely took to it like a duck to water. And wow. I loved it. I love the profession. I love training. I was just at Metro yesterday training their brand new call takers. And
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, I love yes. it. I love the profession. I love because we are the first responders.
That's right.
We're the front line.
You are front line mm-hmm. in the ditch, ready for war.
And like you said, we can make or break the call. Mm-hmm. And not only keeping the public safe, but we need to keep our first responders Absolutely. In the field safe.
Now, Tina, we're going to do a part two. Are you down for that?
I'm down.
Okay. Because I want people to know, where can they find you if they have any questions or they're thinking about going into this field? Maybe you can give them some sort of advice. Are you open to them maybe messaging you on social media at all? And if so, what are your call numbers for that?
Absolutely. Reach out to me anytime. I am on Facebook, Tina DeCola. I'm also on Instagram.
Oh, yay.
And
but what's your handles on Instagram?
Dom DD Ash Ash's mom 119.
Okay, that's pretty fine. We're going to have it on the screen.
Right.
Yeah.
And or just email me, tina@deniseamberlee.org.
Okay.
And I'm more than happy to help. I just helped a young lady that wanted to get into this profession because, again, we need good people.
Yes.
We need good people on the phone.
We cannot have people that don't care. Like, mm-hmm. or act like they're, you know, I'm bothering you because I'm calling you.
100%.
Well, Tina, thank you so much. I am excited for part two. Everybody listen to me right now and look at me. You cannot miss this. Tina is going to break down her calling and how God pulled her into this wonderful life-saving ministry of being not just someone that drives the ambulance, but someone that is there for someone that's in severe high trauma. In an emergency. And I think about that show when I was a little girl. It's called Emergency. Mm-hmm. And me and my dad, before he died, we were actually watching that show together. He's like, you remember this? I was like, yeah, daddy, let's watch it. So friends, I'll see you next time on Annie's Pink Chair. We're going to bring back Tina. And I thank you. My name is Annie Lobert, and you've just experienced Annie's Pink Chair.
Hi friends, it's Annie Lobert from Annie's Pink Chair, and I am actually on location at our nonprofit ministry called the Destiny House. And do you feel and see the presence that's going on here? The peace, the calmness, the comfort, the beautiful grass, the trees. This is what each woman comes to when she enters our Destiny House program for sex trafficking victims. Would you please consider partnering with us monthly or just send us a one-time donation? Just go to our website at hookersforjesus.net and click on donate. And listen, your donation goes to a good cause and it's tax deductible. Thank you so much.
My name is Annie Lobert, and I'm a champion survivor of trafficking to tell you that God can heal you from any hurt that's ever happened to you. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you too.